everybody. Welcome back to Hey Kids Comics. I believe we're on issue 72. Isn't that right, Cole?
We are indeed on 72.
72. The crapshoot that is this episode that we have no title for. Unless Cole can come up with one quickly and efficiently off the top of his head, not to put him on the spot. Let's see what he can do.
I would say we'll call this...
I got a title.
All right.
You want my title? We can call it Can we call it the Fretting Zoo?
Wow.
Because we have no idea what we're getting into. We came up with the topic. As if you listened to last week's issue, you know we went into it not knowing what this week's issue is. And true to form, we did not come to a decision. So here we are.
I think we could call this I Want to Talk About the Animals.
That's good, too. Yeah.
Take kind of a Rex Harrison, Dr. Doolittle approach.
Yeah. I like it. I still like the Fretting Zoo a little bit, but that's just it's mine.
Well, I don't want
that's not. So tonight we're going to talk about super-powered animals, pets of superheroes, animals that just happen to be around these superhero universes that we love so much. It was an idea we had a little while ago, and we figured we might as well go for it.
Yes, animals in comics, from Miss Lion through Crypto and,
Tusky.
Your regular pets to your super pets.
Tusky.
Tusky the Walrus.
Tusky the Walrus will come up quite frequently tonight. We make no promises on how long this issue is going to last, but it will be enjoyable nonetheless, as long as it does.
That's right.
So, when we talk about super pets, or super animals, as it were, we got to figure out right now where we draw the line, Cole. Because
as far as what animals are super or what animals are included,
what quote unquote animals are included, and the reason.
I think that's a good point because you really need to be able to establish. Okay, we could talk all day about everything that Changeling / Beast Boy has ever been.
Right.
Bean, but. While animal shaped in nature, they're not really animals in the truest sense of the word.
Do we include, let's say, puma? Like guys
are
like
you talking about like characters who take on the names of animals?
But wasn't puma essentially a puma man? Like a Native American.
Or was he a man puma?
Was he a man shih tzu while we're talking about super animals? Exactly. He was the puma. He was a Spider-Man villain. Wore a singlet, as a lot of Spider-Man villains do.
They do that a lot.
Either just the Speedo or the full singlet. And looked a lot like a puma. Was he a shapeshifter? I'm trying to remember. I think he was a shapeshifter. So we should ixnay the shapeshifter, the apeshifter Shay.
I think if you can turn yourself into a puma, a cheetah, or whatever, you're not actually a puma or a cheetah,
right?
And of course, we could go on for days about all the animalistic characters.
Well, Animal Man and Vixen, and the Beast.
Now, there is a superhero or comic book character anyway. I don't know if you'd go so far as to call him a superhero who has an association with an animal.
Who might that be?
I'm thinking of none other than Congo Bill.
Oh, Congo Bill.
His good friend Congorilla.
Well, Congorilla, if my information serves me correctly, was at one point a man that turned into a gorilla. Am I wrong in that assumption? But I'm not. But here's the thing, right? He can't turn back.
Well, actually, I think you may be on the right track, because originally Congorilla was just a really unusual gorilla. He was somewhere between an albino and it was sort of a blonde gorilla.
This is already my favorite episode that we've ever recorded.
You'll learn more about Congorilla. But Congorilla was an actual gorilla, if memory serves. And Congo Bill, the big game hunter, adventurer, whatever exactly he was, had a ring, if I'm not mistaken, with a sort of a stick figure gorilla on it.
Right.
And he would touch the ring, and he'd literally, they would switch brains. So, you know, if you were...
That's really impressive.
Just... Yeah, if you're boring the daylights out of Congo Bill, he could just sort of like, you know, tap in and go see what Congorilla was up to. I'm sure it could be kind of awkward if Congorilla was, you know, mating or something. But
or if Congo Bill was mating or something.
That's just true.
Accidentally, you know, yeah.
Taps the ring or, and, you know, without really realizing it, all of a sudden... You know, Congorilla's having the best night of his life.
But we were talking
Congo Bill somewhere in the veldt, you know, scrounging around for grubs.
But we were talking, when we were discussing super items a while ago.
Oh, yes.
Why didn't we talk about Congo Bill's ring? That's amazing.
This is better than the thing ring. But yeah, Congo Bill, I think, eventually got stuck. Maybe Congorilla when he had Congo Bill's body.
I think we know what happened. I think we just discovered the secret origin.
Probably ingested the ring, and later it was lost when the ensuing waste material was hurled beyond the realm of being able to be found.
That's a good theory. But what I'm thinking is, you know, Congo Bill is in the middle of relations, accidentally taps the ring, Congo Bill flashes into Congorilla's body, vice versa happens. Guess who never comes back? Would you? No, you wouldn't.
Of course not. Yeah.
So that's what I'm thinking has happened there. I think that's pretty safe to assume. So we've established a line drawn. We have a line drawn in the sand now. As far as what is and what isn't being considered tonight, I think.
I think so. I think we, you know, Congo Bill gets away with it because he wasn't always trapped in Congorilla's body.
Right. But beyond that, you can't do Animal Man or Vixen or Beast Boy or... Did Mimic ever have those powers? Now that I've said we aren't going to talk about it, we're going to talk about it.
I don't know. That's...
You'd think he kind of would... Well, no, because he only mimicked mutations, correct?
Oh, that's right, yeah. So I guess unless he encountered a mutant animal.
Hey, let's not... We don't pass judgment here. If you're a mutant animal, you're... You have the same rights as any other animal.
That's right.
Is there a mutant animal Magneto out there somewhere? Like some sort of...
You know, the problem with mutant animals is a lot of them either don't know they have mutant powers or don't know what they're doing with them.
Right. Just random bits of like silverware getting stuck to a hedgehog.
Yeah, they don't understand what's going on, and then they get scared, and they run, and, you know, perhaps they go through an iron milling plant, and there's covered in iron filings, and pretty soon they look like that, one of those, you know, hairless hairy things with a magnet. And you can put beards and mustaches on them.
That leads to my favorite superhero animal, Carmadillo. Which I really wish was a thing. Why isn't that a thing?
It could be. That's what ultimately happens, is it's hard to pinpoint. And, you know, luckily for Professor Xavier, Cerebro kind of rules those out.
Right. Could you imagine?
Must search by species. Otherwise, you'd be like, come to me, my X-Men. They fly off. They find, like, a rattlesnake that can, you know, as they hypno-gaze or something. It's a very successful rattlesnake. It doesn't realize that it's able to hypnotize its prey.
That's awesome. Like, now I have that mental image.
You know, at that point, it becomes like geocaching. They're just like wandering around. Where is it? Where's the mutant? I can't find it.
There's a marmot with the ability to set things on fire, only it doesn't know it has the ability to set things on fire because it's a marmot.
Yeah, and most of the animals that can set things on fire tend to die in the very fires they started. Because they run in ever-decreasing circles and trap themselves within their own fire.
The saddest one was the bird that can breathe underwater. That's the saddest one.
That really was. Just never realized its potential.
It just lived its entire life, never knowing. It's like that movie Unbreakable with a bird that can breathe underwater. And and no climax. That's what happens when there's no bird Samuel L. Jackson around. By the way.
Or because the Professor X is screened against them.
Right. By the way, any bird would do as Mr. Glass because birds' bones are hollow. So
That's true.
I just made a weird, linear, non-logical jump there, but I don't care. I made it. I'm sticking with it. I bet you Mr. Glass would be one of those weird Hawaiian geese. Those things are weird looking. I don't like them. I don't like my geese to be five-colored and looking at me funny. So
how about one of those Mandarin ducks, maybe? Of course, they're pretty much in the water already. They maybe work it out on their own.
Yeah, yeah. What's your favorite animal from the comic book world, Cole? Favorite?
I was always kind of partial growing up to the giant-ass seahorses.
Yes.
That Aquaman would ride around on.
Right.
I mean, what are the chances that such a beast would exist? And if it did, who better to tame it?
Right. Than the Aquaman of
all people.
The King
of the Seven Seas himself. Yes, than Aquaman.
Did they do anything? Or just...
I think they just like hung around and waited to be ridden. It was like Hi-Ho Silver, you know?
Yeah, but, you know, like, if you watch a Lone Ranger or, you know, any Western, or the horses always would end up helping. You know, they would sense danger. They would paw at
the
ground.
I don't know that. I think that I was doing a little looking. Storm was the name of the Aquaman's personal giant-ass seahorse.
The pink one? Or were they all pink?
Yeah, depending on where you looked. He was kind of greenish in Justice.
Yeah, he was.
Because I think Alex Ross probably refused to do him in pink.
Alex Ross, you know, has a lot of reference material. So he went out and found giant seahorses.
Yeah, he probably did.
As models.
I think there's one at the Monterey Bay Aquarium.
Is there?
Yeah, it's a big-ass seahorse.
That's awesome.
Yeah, you know, the thing about it is that You wonder, did they have those, you know, did they breed toward giant, or were there just some giant seahorses around Atlantis that nobody else knew about?
Yeah, I mean, they never ventured out? You know, through everything that happened in the history of Atlantis, they never bred out any further than just... was the population really that controlled? Because you only ever saw, like, you didn't see herd of wild, giant-ass seahorses.
Well, you know, I never really thought about it that much until this moment, but you bring up an interesting point, and I've suddenly come to the conclusion it's like the Sables in Gorky Park. they're very...
It's very controlled. They're used to their environment.
Very controlled population. They're not allowed. And then Lee Marvin tries to come in and steal some.
Well, Lee Marvin can steal whatever he wants.
Well, he can damn sure try, but then Aquaman defeated him, and that was that.
That is a fight I would love to see. Lee Marvin fighting Aquaman. Somebody call Alex Ross and figure out why they haven't done.
Yeah, can somebody out there draw me a picture of Lee Marvin fighting Aquaman? That would be the ultimate.
Was it Lee Marvin in The Wild Bunch, if I remember?
I think so.
If Lee Marvin was in The Wild Bunch, I want to see The Wild Bunch fighting the Justice League. Can somebody make that happen? That is a five-part mini I would love to read.
That's what we need to see more of, is sort of like comic movie crossovers.
Exactly. Or to comic. We see a lot of like comic TV, sort of. We occasionally see a comic movie, depending on how popular the movie is. It's like the Evil Dead stuff. But we don't see a lot of, let's say, the Teen Titans cross path with Hogan's Heroes. We don't see a lot of that. I would like to see more. I would like to see, I'm just putting it out there. Let's just see more of that. That's good. I like that. Aquaman has been a perennial favorite of yours. I'm glad that he's still around, and I'm glad that
the thing about it is, Aquaman, in addition to, you know, it was just always cool on Super Friends when he would conjure up all manner of fish. Because they went out of their way a lot of times to find, you know, really obscure sea life to show up.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes it was painfully obvious. Like, if he couldn't get a jar of pickles open, he'd call it an octopus or something like that.
Right. the man can throw a shovel off the front of a bulldozer, but God, for the pressure under the water holding the pickle jar closed.
At six atmospheres, it's hard to get a pickle jar open.
I mean, you get the bins already. Do you need the dill bins?
That's right. You know, nothing will help the bins like a couple of bread and butter pickles.
I think he has the dill bins.
So, he had, in the comics, there was Popo the Octopus.
Right.
There was Storm the big-ass seahorse, though was, I don't think, ever referred to in quite that way. And, of course, Tusky the Walrus. And everybody but Popo got featured on cartoons.
I wonder why Popo never made it to the cartoons.
I think they were afraid that in the Spanish and the Mediterranean market, that Popo sounded a little too close to Purpo, which is Spanish for octopus, and would be rather a mouth-watering delight there on screen. Because, you know, octopus is a pretty tasty mollusk.
Of all the mollusk, see, the octopus is probably up there.
And they're certainly amongst the more ambulatory. You know, the Legion of Super Scallops really didn't catch on in the limpet days. You know, it'd be like Grizzly Adams sending the Ben to go get help. You know, if you're having to count on a limpet because a piece of coral reef fell on you,
right,
it may be 6 to 8 months before it reaches Atlantis.
The Legion of Doom sea anemones didn't really do it.
That's right. Yeah. You know, a lot of people don't realize the sea anemone is ambulatory, but it does take an awful long time to cross much of the seabed.
It's really, by the time it gets there, a storm has already caught wind of what it's doing and informed Tusky.
Yeah, I guess it's just sort of like if you see some of these animals, you know, the sea anemone is kind of crawling outside of its normal territory and brushing off the friendly, helpful clownfish.
Huh.
It worries other animals, and it just kind of goes up the food chain, as it were.
There are warning signs.
Yeah, it's like, before you eat me, Mr. Grouper, can I point out that Aquaman is in trouble?
Right.
I'll be sure and pass that on, and I'll probably pass you on as well. Okay, of course, I'm sure everybody's like, why haven't you mentioned, of course, the Legion of Super Pets?
Yeah, yeah.
Because apparently nearly anything except limpets and sea anemone of Krypton were rocketed to Earth. Everything made it.
The pod went out with Kal-El in it. And then the barn came out too. And apparently, when you're from Krypton,
you know, Jor-El had a large variety of rockets of various degrees of speed. And, you know, I think any day now, after, you know, 75 years, the one containing a tank full of whelks will arrive. We surely will have the Legion of Super Mollusks.
It's the Kryptonian ermine.
Or worse yet, if he smuggled out a Kryptonian sable.
Right.
Imagine Lee Marvin's glee.
Stoat-L has arrived.
Lee Marvin will become the Lex Luthor to Super Sable.
Super Sable.
It's okay. I just want your coat.
So, yes, what were our members of...
Yes, of course. The ubiquitous Crypto, of course, is the most famous of all Kryptonian animals, which, like all Kryptonian anything except in the movies, looks remarkably like an Earth dog.
Well, of course it does. We all learned from watching the movies and reading the comics that Krypton's environment was so like Earth's that it made you super strong to live there. Why wouldn't you look like a normal human dog?
I mean, literally, Krypton and Earth were cut from the same cloth. They got different colored suns.
That's right.
I mean, it took to all the way to Man of Steel for somebody to bother putting some really unusual animal on that planet. Now, I want a manticore to fly to Congress on.
Are you sure that's a manticore? It kind of looks like a
Kryptonian manticore, which differs vastly from the earthly version.
Can we call Frank and get a final ruling on whether that thing is a
definitive
manticore
answer? And of course, you know, not content to simply send dogs into space, like anyone who is going to risk sending a newborn into the cold vacuum of space, you always send a monkey first.
Right, right.
So the result was Beppo the super monkey, who has like X-ray vision, heat vision, and dung throwing ability.
Right, super dung throwing ability.
And unlike Superman, who wears his underwear on his outside of his pants, Beppo actually just wears his diaper.
Well, you don't want Kryptonian monkey shit all over the place.
No, you don't. And the worst thing is the intestinal parasites that he came to Earth with, because apparently Jor-El didn't bother to quarantine him.
Well, I think one of his intestinal parasites became the parasite.
Oh, and that could have been. It could have been like an intestinal tapeworm or a Kryptonian tapeworm that evolved into the parasite.
Can I tell you my favorite thing about this? And we already been through all of the various sundry of members of the Legion of Super Pets yet. But I'm looking at the Legion of Super Pets on the DC Comics database, and it lists a status for the group, which is now defunct. Apparently, they decided to break up. I'm wondering if there wasn't a stole Yoko Ono situation going on there. and of course their identity is secrets.
That could be any white horse.
Right, right. That could be any white horse flying through the air with a...
I would just look for a white horse wearing glasses. That's my chief suspect.
Nice. So yeah, I wanted to bring that up now, is that that's how serious people are taking this online.
Yeah, because Comet the Super Horse...
Right.
...is by far, I mean... Normal horses have abilities beyond those of mortal men.
That's true. I hadn't thought about that.
I mean, when was the last time you jumped the barbed wire fence with your testicles intact?
Your testicles intact.
So, you know, Comet the Super Horse can fly, which is pretty amazing for a horse, especially one without wings. So take that, Pegasus.
Right, in your face.
Yeah. Where's Harry Hamlin when you need him?
He's hanging out with Bubo. Oh, Bubo. Why haven't we talked about Bubo yet? We'll talk about Bubo later.
Oh, yes, Bubo.
I'm sure he appeared in comics somewhere, and I'm not letting it go. So continue on your rant about the Legion of Super Pets, please.
And finally, I think the only member of the Legion of Super Pets not of Kryptonian origin was Streaky the Super Cat, who, if memory serves, was actually a magic cat.
I thought he had some relation to, like, Captain Marvel, but I could be wrong.
No, I stand correct. Given it was like an Earth cat who got powers from sort of some sort of kryptonite.
No, he got Smallville'd?
He got Smallville'd. He's like the first one. He's the first meteor freak.
He got Smallville'd. Way to go, Streaky.
Yeah. Wow, I have a whole new modicum of respect for Smallville. That there's some precedent there.
Right.
You know, I guess the piece, a little tiny nugget of mauve kryptonite or...
mauve, the cornflower blue, right. Oh, by the way, Streaky...
bird, umber kryptonite.
Not to be outdone by the Flash and having Bart Allen being Barry Allen's, what, like, great-grandson or great-great-great-grandson or whatever he was, come back through time in order to be Impulse and then later Kid Flash and then later the Flash. Streaky had a descendant, a cat descendant, in the 30th century that hung out with the Legion of Superheroes named Wizzy, which seems to me like a really apt name for a cat.
Yeah.
That became a superhero as well.
So,
let that be a lesson on not getting your pet spayed and neutered. If they have superpowers, don't get them spayed or neutered.
Because that's right. Super Bob Barker reminds you.
Super Bob Barker. We call him Drew Carey. So yes. But the thing is, not to be outdone. Not to be outdone. Marvel had their own pet Avengers.
Oh, that's right. They did. Because there's nothing, you know, they're like the Belloc of comics.
Yeah.
They come up to DC after an ordeal at trying to, come up with something original and say, oh, there's nothing you can have that I can't copy.
That's right. They're sitting in the chair doing their best Fredo impression from The Godfather. The story of what happens to generate to the origin of the pet Avengers is quite interesting. The Infinity Gems go... Lockjaw eats the Infinity Gems.
And we have to point out that Lockjaw himself is perhaps one of the most interesting super pets.
Right. Very much so.
Out there, because he's like the pet of the royal family of Attilan. He's this giant bulldog with a tuning fork in his forehead.
And by giant, we mean he stands like 5'5" on all fours.
Yeah. He's a big mother.
Right.
He's the only dog you have to take to the large animal vet.
Exactly.
And he can teleport.
So that brings me to another question we've discussed before we go on with the Pet Avengers, which I do want to talk about. Is there, we've discussed the doctors, the superhero doctor situation, right? Where it's a whole nother very very exclusive group, like a profession that would only exist in the superhero world, the doctor,
yes,
physician.
It's a specialty.
It's a specialty.
I mean, and I think depending on the insurance you have from your group, be it the Avengers, Defenders, Justice League, what have you,
right?
You probably have to go to a general practitioner first and be referred to a super specialist.
You gotta go somewhere and they get referred to Dr. Strange. Dr. Strange doesn't take walk-ins. But what about vets for super pets?
That's true, because I'm brought back to, and especially somebody who's grew up veterinary industry, you know, with my dad being a veterinarian, I can just imagine, I'm thinking back to that very first issue of Superman, where it shows the doctor trying to inoculate a young Clark Kent and breaking repeated needles.
Right.
And Clark making an ass of himself. Try again, Doc. My bro, you know what these needles cost? Like 2 cents a piece. You know how much that is back now?
Back now? Back then when we're talking now then?
Exactly. One day I'll say back then, you creep. So, you know, I can imagine like breaking needles off on Krypto.
I think that's the name of my next rap album. I don't know how. But breaking needles off on Krypto is, I think
that was from Cafe Ultron.
I think it is. Yes. It's the fourth album after the breakup. And then they got back together. So the cast of characters that runs through this adventure of them trying to get the Infinity gems.
And couldn't they just give him a laxative or something?
They could, but I think they teleported.
Oh, I guess that would make sense.
Right.
Probably panicked when they were coming at him with the laxatone.
Right. Is Lockheed? So we've got Lockjaw, Lockheed, Red Wing, Miss Lion, because I know how much you're a fan of Miss Lion, who had to have been the Black Widow of this team. No real superpowers. Just running honeypot scams over and over again.
And, of course, Red Wing being the Falcon that accompanies the Falcon.
Right, which I was going to actually talk about. Because the thing is, through something involving the Cosmic Cube and the Red Skull, Red Wing the Falcon and the Falcon the Man became telepathically bonded. I want to know if that goes two ways.
Oh.
Because if it does, it's going to be a lot of mouse, mouse, sun, mouse, mouse, wing, wing, mouse, sun, mouse. It's not the same.
Yeah, it really isn't, because, you know, you wake up in a cold sweat after it becomes almost Game of Thrones, where you start, you know, having visions of, like, you know, tearing the flesh off of a dead stoat.
Thank you. We're coming back to stoat. I like
it. That's right. Yeah, the flavor of stoat and, you know, fur and skin and stuff in your mouth.
But they go on to visit the Savage Lands, where they team up with Zabu, who is another...
Oh, one of the ultimate super pets.
Which I think we've discussed before, if you remember right.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, who wouldn't want a saber-toothed tiger or a Smilodon to be...
Thank you, Cole.
Accurate here. We want to be, for the paleontologists listening in.
Speaking of the paleontologists listening in, they then travel to the prehistoric past where they meet up with Devil Dinosaur.
They met Devil Dinosaur. Everybody gets to meet Devil Dinosaur. Godzilla fought Devil Dinosaur.
Everybody fights. He did fight Devil Dinosaur. He also fought S.H.I.E.L.D. and then shrunk down to be tiny sized.
That's right.
Not to be outdone by Aquaman, they then run into Namor's, which I didn't know Namor had this. But apparently he has a turtle honor guard.
A turtle honor guard? I did not know that.
Right. I did not either. So they the storied history of the Pet Avengers is grand and full of joy and mischief, apparently.
Well, I knew that Namor did have, like, a land whale.
Right, he had one of those weird land whales, yeah.
Yeah, that like that giant-ass sperm whale with arms and legs that would come up and...
Where did that thing come from? This monster.
That was a very Kirby thing.
Oh god, it was totally Kirby. You know what another animal that didn't make this list but should have was? Frog Thor. Why wasn't Frog Thor on this list?
Throg?
Is that who that is? Is he on it?
Throg was apparently a member of the Pet Avengers.
Yes! Alright, he was in there.
And also I found out the name of the big sperm whale with arms and legs was Giganto.
Really? Learn it. Was he in this thing? Name. Was he in it?
Huh?
Was he in it?
I don't know that. I don't think he got to be in the Pet Avengers. He was just too big.
Yeah, right. He kind of throws the curve when you got Throg. What about Thor's goats?
Wow, yes, because he's got the goat chariot thing going on.
What is his name? Rafnor and Pete? I don't remember their names, but that sounds right to me. Can we find out the goats' names? Because I'm going to feel really bad if we go with Rafnor and Pete as the names of these goats. While you're looking up goat names, I have one for you. Since we are... What are we... Okay, we're about halfway through. We're a little over halfway. So I got one for you. You ready for this?
All right.
Because we've talked about him before. I'm sure we'll talk about him again. I'm throwing down Bubastis.
Oh, yes, we definitely... Oh, I would have just been so angry with myself if I had forgotten Bubastis.
I'm surprised Bubastis didn't come out a lot earlier than this, but...
I know. I'm shocked that it didn't occur... That she didn't occur to me at all. Yes, the genetically engineered lynx...
And Tana Tiger,
Adrian
as I like
to call AKA...
Go ahead.
Oh, hey, AKA Ozymandias.
Right.
And one of the coolest animals ever to grace the comic pages and met one of the saddest endings.
Well, it was one of the best concept animals I've ever seen in a comic book.
That's true.
You know, like, I don't think I'd ever seen anything like it before.
And the thing is, it made perfect sense. If you were Adrian Veidt, you had more money than God. And you fancied yourself sort of like a, you know, Egyptian motif. What else would you do but get yourself the biggest ass cat with the biggest ears?
Right.
That you get your hands on.
Well, not only
that, and then bitch to people about how much it costs to feed her.
Not only that, but the thing is, like, the paradigm of science and technology, right? Like, not only, it's not like Jurassic Park. It's not like Dr. Hammond went back and found some DNA and cloned it. He made that shit out of nothing. Like, yeah. I want a purple and green lynx with giant antennae, or pink, I can't remember, with giant weird antennae, but not replacing its ears. I want it to have actual ears and eyes, just have weird antennae and like a weird fern-like like spine tail thing. Like, I want that, and I'm gonna make that for no other reason than I can.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, I've been hell-bent on saving the world from itself for the past, what, 20 odd years. I'm gonna put that on hold to do that.
You deserve that, you know.
You
got
project.
One team working on the super squid, and the other team they got down with the big ass cat a lot earlier in the game.
Was the big ass cat the kind of the proof of concept for the?
Oh, that could have been. Yeah, if you can pull this off, I got an even bigger challenge for you. It's called the brain squid.
Right, it's going to be the size of New York. What are you going to do with that? Macy's Day Parade.
And then I'll have to kill you.
Well, I won't.
Man. Yeah, somebody will. He outsourced a lot.
Yeah, if we don't know, really.
So I did some checking, and I actually found the names for you history buffs, those of you into the Nordic mythology. Thor's goats were Tangrisner and Tanjonster.
You might have been right the first time.
Yeah, I'm not really sure. Which translate teeth bearer or snarler.
Okay.
And teeth grinder.
That's really ominous for goat names.
Yes, it is. And I think it's also very indicative of how familiar Thor was with his goats that he named them after some of their, you know, maybe when they were like just kids and he realized, you know, one of them just was kind of like constantly baring his little teeth and the other one was just, you know, real nervous and or anxious and ground his teeth a lot.
So we're saying that these goats have been with Thor pretty much from Jump Street. That's what you're saying.
I think so. They started out with Thor and they stuck around.
All right, I'll roll with you on that. I'll go with that. See, I have a favorite of all time animal, and I'm not kidding. And this is going to be weird. But if you've listened to the show, it might not be that weird. And Cole probably can figure this one out. Valinor is my favorite animal in all of comic books.
Valinor.
You know who Valinor was? He was Dane Whitman's horse. The Black Knight.
Oh, yes. That name sounded vaguely familiar to me.
There have been many variations. Yes,
the Black Knight's winged steed.
Yes, there have been many variations. His father, the original Black Knight, had a winged black horse. But this one was Dane Whitman, the Black Knight's horse. There have been many like it, but none. But this one was his. That he was always my favorite. I always thought that was the coolest thing in the world. Was the black, because every time you see Pegasus represented up until like the new Clash of the Titans movies, the Pegasus was always white. You know, it was always this white steed, winged thing. And the first time I ever saw a black Pegasus was that horse in that, because, you know, when I was getting into comics, that was around that time of the Avengers when he was the Black Knight and he was in the comics. And that was always the coolest thing, because you had all these guys flying. Like, Iron Man had a suit that flew. Thor would fly around. Later did I find out his hammer was actually controlling his flight, but still it was pretty rad. You know, you had characters with the power of flight, but nobody had a flying horse that they would ride.
That's true.
Into battle.
I mean, you know, Hawkeye had his little sky bike thing going on.
Right, you didn't have that. Like, that was pretty cool to me that a guy would ride a horse to fight, you know, Ultron or Galactus. Like, I'm going to take my horse into battle. That was awesome. Plus, I was a big D&D nerd, so that didn't hurt. So yeah, that was my favorite. That was my favorite of all of the animals in comic books that you could possibly think of. The Black Knights.
That's a pretty impressive animal.
Really, it is.
And that's even more impressive than the like the Kangas from Paradise Island.
Nice. It's more.
Now here's a question: Does a Detective Chimp, it seems, would count?
I would,
because I think he was just like a proper chimp.
Yeah, I would think so. I would think so.
And then there was poor Titano.
What happened with Titano?
I think Titano was like a regular gorilla who got like supersized.
Okay.
Like, Honey, I Blew Up the Gorilla.
Okay, so like a King
and
Kong.
And then he went on a rampage and, you know, did the King Kong thing and got himself killed.
Right. Yeah, okay. I'm with that. We can include Titano in that situation. I still think Manshitsu should be in there.
Manshitsu is more like a man who became a Shih Tzu, like a were-Shih Tzu.
But I like to think of him more as a Shih Tzu who became a man.
Oh, could have been. His origins are steeped in mystery. They're shrouded.
I like to think he learned something in the end. He grew.
Naturally.
He grew. Cool. He grew as a Shih Tzu.
As a dog.
As a dog Shih Tzu man.
And of course, speaking of dogs,
yes,
we would be remiss if we did not mention Ace the Bat Hound.
Well, sure, of course. The world's greatest dog detective.
That's right. The world's finest.
The world's finest would include what, Crypto and Ace. Has that ever been done? I'm sure it has.
I think so. If nothing else, at least in cartoons or something.
Right, right.
And to quote Twin Peaks, the owl. Owls are not what they seem. I think Dr. Midnight had an owl friend.
He did. Dr. Midnight did indeed have an Alfred. It was a pretty cool Alfred, too. We can't go very far. We're coming down to the brass tacks of this show somehow. I don't know how we did it, but we're...
Yeah, this is another one we go in thinking, we can maybe pad this out for half an hour.
We probably should talk about Commandy and
yes.
New Earth? Is that where he was from? With the
I think so.
Because didn't he have a talking lion at some point at his disposal?
What was going on with Commandy was kind of a Planet of the Apes sort of thing.
Okay.
Where apart from the Ernest Borgnine cabby from Escape from New York.
Yes!
Commandy and a few hundred other humans here and there. Pretty much all of the pets and circus animals and such of Earth wound up evolving into, a world where men evolved from tigers or something like that. Tigers evolved into men.
Right.
You actually had in one of my favorite Commandy covers ever, Bulldogs Dying Like Men.
Yes, now you know the cover art you need to find for this issue.
Yes, Bulldogs Dying Like Men.
But yes, Commandy was just chock-a-block with weird animal people hybrids running around like idiots. Jeez. So what do we miss? What do we miss? We missed all of the gorilla people. Gorilla Grodd.
Yes. The gorillas of Gorilla City. King Solovar, who had a fairly sizable role in the Crisis of Infinite Earth. Mm-hmm. The benevolent Monkey King.
Cole, you're my benevolent.
He was actually a better ruler than that King Louie, I think it is, from the Jungle Book.
That guy was an asshole. He's got drunk and sang a lot. That's not how you rule. That's not how you lead a kingdom.
That's right. Call yourself a ruler, do you? And of course, they're always the characters, the heroes and villains who like to hang around with animals.
Right.
You've got... because, didn't Brainiac have, some kind of freakish little monkey?
I think so.
At times. Oh, and you were you talked about the winged steed. Shining Knight over at DC had a traditional white Pegasi.
I like Pegasi. Pegasi's good.
No, Pegasi figured in comics here and there. Joker would occasionally be accompanied by hyenas.
Yes. Yes, he would.
Which is not really a good idea.
No, but the Joker's not known for his level-headedness.
Yeah,
so.
That's true. And he also genetically engineered Joker fish.
That's true. That's true. He did. I don't know if they count, but we're going to count them. We're going to put them in there. No, we'll count. They're definitely countable. Yeah, I'm counting them.
You have a lot of your, especially at DC, but also at Marvel, a lot of old Western heroes who had their...
various horses.
Their various trusty steeds.
Mm-hmm. You know... good.
Like the original Ghost Rider.
Right. Right. The guy that wasn't Nicolas Cage. The guy portrayed in the movie by,
the cowboy ghost rider.
Right. And now I can't remember his name. Why can't I remember his name? Sam Elliott. There we go. I was going to shoot myself if I could remember Nick Cage and not Sam Elliott. I do have one thing that I want to talk about, and then we'll wrap it up.
Okay.
Actually, three. Because I do believe, I don't know whether it's a crossover, but I know they've appeared in comics, and that makes it okay for me. That is Cringor, Panthor, and none other than the mighty and beautiful Swiftwind. I'm sure.
You have really missed being able to mention Swift.
You have no idea. Any opportunity, and those opportunities are few and far between. The animals of the He-Man universe, I think, count. I think I have to count them just because I wanted to say Swiftwind on the show again. That's enough for me. So, Cole, why don't you start wrapping us up?
Actually, in closing, I do have to point out, I discovered in poking around, looking at animals in comics, I did not realize that there was an Aqua Dog.
No, are you kidding me?
And apparently Aqua Dog is a fairly recent arrival on the scene. From 2012, as a matter of fact, there's a dog that Aquaman and Mira rescued from the trench.
Oh, really? So that was New 52 animal. All right.
Yes.
That's interesting. I didn't realize that it happened.
The veterans of DC Comics, Rex the Wonder Dog. Yeah.
Right. What about, what was the name of the, while we're on Falcons, what was the name of the Falcon that, Harvey Birdman had?
Avenger.
Right.
Yeah, apparently could type as well occasionally. So, yeah, needless to say, there is a long and storied history of, even the World War I enemy ace had a wolf.
I did not know that. Wow.
Yeah, I have a Black Wolf. Simply, it was a Black Wolf named Black Wolf because apparently World War I German flying aces were not very imaginative.
They had a lot on their minds.
That's right. It's kind of like the band Black Dog, you know? Like, what are we going to call our band? I don't know. They're a big old black lab. Somebody's black lab that was running stray in the neighborhood. Hey, we'll call ourselves Black Dog.
What's that black dog doing over there? Being a black dog? We're going to call it Black Dog. All right, good. We got it. Everything's good.
So, you know, like I said, the whole history of comics seems replete with animals. And it's kind of interesting. You know, you brought up Miss Lion, who appeared in the cartoons and I think would later managed to insinuate herself into the comics.
Yes.
Joker had his hyenas. Penguin was also often associated with all manner of fowl, not simply penguins.
Right.
Batman, of course, consorted with bats.
Well, it's
found ways to attract them to him at his beck and call.
The theme is universal.
Yes.
You know, it's one of those things where people can immediately identify with having a pet and they understand what it means and it allows you to create new and exciting stories. Do they go so too far sometimes with said pets? Yeah, maybe, but
I think so.
But I think their heart's in the right place most of the time with a bunch of animals. So,
well, I do have one question that has come to mind, though.
Okay.
Prior to being sort of mentally merged with Red Wing.
Right.
I'm kind of curious, did Falcon actually have a license to maintain a bird of prey? Because, frankly, that's illegal. You actually have to have a permit.
I don't know if anybody was checking his permits. But
yeah, I think, you know, it's one of those things that probably occurred to people too late.
But when you're with Captain America as much as you are, I don't think people check your permits a lot. They
probably don't.
Once you're a card-carrying member of the Avengers, having a sugar glider in your pocket, not such a big deal. In the 36 states where you're not allowed to have sugar gliders in your pocket.
You know why you have it in your pocket.
I'm just happy to see you. That's...
Well, I knew that already.
All right.
So, you know, with ever running the gamut from the obvious, like crypto, to the freakish mutant animal world that Commandy was forced to live in, we really have found a lot more animal life. You know, the greatest kingdom in the world is well represented here, to paraphrase a line from Blackadder.
There is one more that I forgot, and it's recent too. Oh. It's post New 52 as well. There was an outbreak of a disease that was trying to be tracked by Batman and Robin. And this is Damian Wayne Robin. They tracked the disease back to, I believe it was a farm or a slaughterhouse of some sort, at which point they rescue a cow. The cow has now become known as Bat Cow and is a fairly regular occurring cast member in the Batman comic books. So I'm not kidding about that. That is a real thing that has happened in 2012. So as recently as last year, the Bat Cow, otherwise known as, and I completely forgot about this. I read the issues, including the Bat Cow, also known as the Batlin Bovine. For realsies, guys, this is a real thing that happened. Is a thing. It's a thing.
And that actually reminded me of another thing. I remember in reading about Dracula in Marvel.
Okay.
I think it was in Howard the Duck. There was actually a cow that became a vampire.
Really? Do we
remember? I cannot remember the vampire cow's name. I think it was something like just Bessie or something like
that. I'm trying to remember. Now I'm looking for this. Now I got to find it. If you would like to go ahead and start the plug section of our show, I will continue to look for the cow.
I do have to also point out that, as we mentioned in the last issue, Man-Eating Cow from Tick.
Yes.
Who, because they... On the Tick TV series, they didn't really have a lot of stuff they could do with, you know, they adapted a lot of the characters wherever they could in clever ways. And mention is made brilliantly of Apocalypse Cow.
Yes, which is amazing. It's
that was
possibly the best pun. Apparently, I've ever heard.
And apparently Apocalypse Cow fired flames from its teats. So to kind of plug everything down while Andrew is looking around for his reference material, you're, of course, coming to you from the Jedi Cole universe at JediCole.com and our sister site, which eventually, if I ever slow down long enough, I will have our 2014 convention listings begin at Convention Awareness Project Texas, which is conventionawarenesstx.blogspot.com. You can find Andrew, myself, Rick, Catherine, and other folks over at United States of Geekdom at unitedstatesofgeekdom.com. And, of course, here at the JCU, be sure and look for shows like myself and Eddie Medina on the Rancor Pit, Catherine and Bobby Blakey and guests on the occasional movie review show, What'd You Think?, and, of course, the weekly JCU Sunday Funnies with the unmountable Bobby Blakey providing artwork.
There you go. I'll just read you the brief history, according to Comic Vine, of the cow that was bitten by Dracula. Originally a cow living in Switzerland, over 300 years ago, Bessie was bitten by Dracula one night when he could not find a human to feed on. The next morning, her owner was found dead and or found her dead and buried her. 3 days later, however, she rose from the grave, hell-bent on revenge towards Dracula and his kind. This cow...
I have to point out, Dracula couldn't find her owner.
Right.
He found her okay the next morning.
By the way, the cow's name is Hell Cow. So...
That's right.
So, with that, we will leave you, and you will see us next week. As always, buy, collect, and enjoy your comics, and find your favorite animal comics and read them, because there's a lot of times you find things like Hell Cow that you never knew existed that are a hell of a lot of fun. Say goodnight, Cole.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody. Hell Cow. Hell Cow. He came from hell to be a...
It's the cow from hell.
The cow from hell.